Section 3, The Civil War. As you read, look for the following. How slaves were treated. How some people opposed slavery. The events leading to the Civil War. Vocabulary terms. Underground Railroad. Abolitionist. Secede. Confederate States of America. Border State. Bushwhacker. Just as the issues of slavery and states' rights were dividing the nation, they were also dividing Missouri. Slavery. Missouri had known slavery from its earliest history. Native American tribes in Missouri often made slaves of prisoners captured in battles with other tribes. But Native Americans did not buy or sell people as slaves until they started trading with Europeans. The first African slaves were brought to Missouri by the French in 1720 to work in the lead and iron mines. By the time of the Louisiana Purchase in 1804, there were about 1,400 black slaves out of a population of 10,300 non-Indians in Missouri. When Missouri became a state in 1821, there were 10,000 black slaves out of a total population of 66,000. A large number of settlers from other slave states had settled in counties along the Missouri River. These owners held the majority of the slaves in Missouri. Page 190. Life as a slave. In the South, most slaves lived and worked on plantations, large farms. In Missouri, however, most slaves worked on small farms. They guided the plows, planted the seeds, harvested the crops, and took care of the livestock. Other slaves worked in the towns as servants or laborers. As soon as he or she was able to do chores, a child born into slavery was put to work. Slaves worked from sunup to sundown every day except Sundays, no matter the weather. A few slaves earned wages, but most received only food and shelter. Many white people who owned slaves or supported slavery believed that God meant for them to hold black people as slaves. They based this belief on comparisons they made between their culture and that of Africa, where most slaves were either born or had their family roots. Whites thought African culture was primitive. In reality, it was rich in tradition, language, art, crafts, and commerce. Many of the slaves came from African villages that were older than any town or city in Europe. Many whites thought that the slaves were happy with their lives in bondage compared to life in Africa. This was far from true. Brought across the ocean in chains in the holds of crowded ships on which diseases spread rapidly, many Africans died before they reached America. The captives were sold and traded, sometimes at public auctions, just as a farmer might buy a cow or a mule. A black boy might be worth $500. A black man and woman together might sell for $1,400. Sometimes a family was split apart when its members were sold to different buyers. Husbands were separated from wives and children from parents. Page 191. They were taken back to farms where they lived in shacks that usually had dirt floors and no fireplaces. Sometimes a dozen people were crowded into a space half the size of your classroom. They were poorly clothed and fed and rarely allowed to see a doctor. They were not allowed to marry or to learn to read and write. To make their slaves work harder or to punish them, masters would beat and whip their slaves, leaving ugly scars on their skin. Free blacks. There were free black people living in Missouri during this time. But their lives were not much better than the lives of people in slavery. Free blacks worked long and hard for little pay, often being paid less for the same amount of work done by a white person. Unable to afford or denied the opportunity to buy or rent decent housing, free blacks often lived in terrible conditions. Missouri had laws making it a crime for anyone to teach a black person to read or write. This did not always stop people from teaching or learning. John Berry Meacham was a slave who had managed to save enough money from his wages to buy his freedom. A minister, Meacham taught reading and writing during his Sunday school classes until the local sheriff threatened to arrest him if he did not stop. Instead, Meacham bought a small steamboat and anchored it in the middle of the Mississippi River, where the sheriff could not arrest him. Students rowed boats out to the steamboat to go to school. Free blacks and whites opposed to slavery also risked arrest by helping slaves who had escaped from their masters. The escaped slaves would try to reach a free state. Their masters would chase them and offer rewards for their capture. Following a route sometimes called the Underground Railroad, the escaped slaves would go from hiding place to hiding place, sometimes hiding in basements, attics, barns, or secret tunnels. One route of the Underground Railroad went through St. Louis, where the slaves were helped across the Mississippi River to the free state of Illinois. Page 192, Spotlight. The Dred Scott Decision. Even as fighting was going on along the Missouri-Kansas border, another step toward the Civil War was being taken by the United States Supreme Court in a case that began in Missouri. It involved a man named Dred Scott and his wife, Harriet. Dred Scott had been born a slave in Virginia and was later purchased by an army doctor living in St. Louis. The army doctor was sent to St. Louis and later Wisconsin, and Dred Scott went along. During this time, the doctor purchased Harriet, and she and Dred were married. They returned with the doctor to St. Louis in 1842. When the doctor died in 1843, his wife refused to let the Scotts purchase their freedom. They went to court and sued for it. The Scotts' lawyers argued that because the doctor had taken them into a free state and a territory where slavery had been prohibited, they should have been set free and not brought back to the slave state of Missouri. The case eventually reached the Federal District Court in St. Louis. That court ruled that the Scotts, because they were slaves, were not citizens and did not have the right to sue. You can still visit the courthouse and the courtroom where this decision was made. It is part of the national park that includes the Gateway Arch in St. Louis. The Scotts then took their case to the United States Supreme Court, which ruled in 1857 that the Scotts were not citizens and could not use the federal courts. The court also ruled that Congress did not have the right to pass laws that regulated or controlled slavery. The Dred Scott decision further divided the anti-slavery and pro-slavery sides and, to many people, made a civil war impossible to avoid. Soon after the court decision, ownership of the Scotts was given to a family that had helped in the court fight and wanted to free them. In May 1857, the Scotts were declared free. Dred Scott lived as a free man for only a short time. He died in September 1858 from a lung disease. Harriet Scott died in 1876. Page 193. The Anti-Slavery Movement. Slavery was important to the state's agricultural economy, but the growing numbers of immigrants from Europe, especially those from Germany, brought with them a belief that slavery was wrong and should be abolished. Joined by others who openly worked to end slavery, these people were called abolitionists. The abolitionists disagreed with many of the settlers already in Missouri, especially those who had come from the slave states such as Virginia, North and South Carolina, and Tennessee. Most Missourians did not own slaves, but they supported the rights of others to own slaves and the rights of the states to decide for themselves whether to allow slavery. These differences led to conflict between Missouri and Kansas. In 1854, Congress passed a law that repealed or canceled the Missouri Compromise. The new law allowed states formed from the Nebraska and Kansas territories to decide for themselves whether they would be free or slave states. People argued over whether Kansas would become a slave or a free state. In 1855, Kansas held an election to choose a territorial legislature. Missourians who favored slavery crossed the border and voted for candidates who were also for slavery. Even though there were only 3,000 eligible voters in Kansas, 6,300 ballots were cast in the election. When a Missouri newspaper complained, a pro-slavery mob threw the newspaper's press into the Missouri River. Fighting broke out between the abolitionist and pro-slavery sides in Kansas. Missourians crossed the border to help the pro-slavery side. Farms and towns were raided and burned to scare away the abolitionist settlers. State militias and federal troops had to be called in to stop the fighting. Kansas eventually entered the Union as a free state. Did you know? The raids between Missouri and Kansas killed or wounded so many people that many people talked or wrote about Bleeding Kansas. Page 194. Secession. In 1860, the Republican Party, a political party made up of people opposed to slavery, nominated Abraham Lincoln of Illinois for President of the United States. Lincoln campaigned against allowing any new slave states into the Union. The southern states had threatened to secede or leave the Union if Lincoln was elected. When Lincoln was elected, a number of the southern states seceded and formed the Confederate States of America. On April 12, 1861, Confederate soldiers in South Carolina captured Fort Sumter from Union troops. It was the first battle in the Civil War. Page 195. Few Missourians wanted their state to secede from the United States. But Governor Claiborne Jackson and most of the men in the state government supported the Confederacy. Governor Jackson called out the state militia to fight for the South. However, Union troops from St. Louis rushed to Jefferson City and captured the capital. Governor Jackson and the rest of the government fled to Neosho in southern Missouri. There, on October 28, 1861, they voted to join the Confederacy. But federal troops controlled key parts of Missouri, including the capital and its largest city, St. Louis. A government loyal to the Union was set up. Missouri then became a border state, a slave state that stayed in the Union. Fighting in Missouri. The Civil War divided the state, divided towns, and even divided families. Brothers sometimes found themselves shooting at each other from opposite sides during a battle. 1 in every 10 battles fought in the Civil War took place in Missouri. The biggest battle was also one of the first, taking place in August 1861. In the very bloody Battle of Wilson's Creek near Springfield, the Missouri Confederates defeated a Union army and chased it back north. A month later, Confederate forces again defeated Union forces, this time at Lexington. Page 196. The Union army recovered and forced the Confederate armies out of Missouri later that year. The Missouri Confederates became a part of the Confederate army and fought in many battles all across the South. Back in Missouri, the fighting was largely between small groups of Union soldiers and small groups of rebels, many of whom belonged to no real army. These rebels were sometimes called bushwhackers. The bushwhackers raided small towns and farms for supplies, stealing what they could carry and often burning the rest. The bushwhackers were trying to scare people, either into leaving or into supporting the South. Permelia Hardiman wrote down her memories of a bushwhacker raid on her family's farm in southwest Missouri in 1862. "We were visited last night about 2 o'clock by the bushwhackers. I was up with the baby when they came. They got both of the guns and then went upstairs, took my bed blankets, then searched the bureau drawers. They even took as small a thing as a comb and brush." Did you know? In Oregon County, bushwhackers struck so many times that the settlers, many of them from Ireland, fled and never returned. Their farms became a part of the Mark Twain National Forest, called the Irish Wilderness. Page 197. Life in the Army. Life was hard for the soldiers, who had to walk everywhere they went. Often, the wagons carrying their food were delayed or lost. The soldiers were then left with nothing to eat. Sometimes they would steal a cow or pig from a farmer. Many times they had nothing to eat but hardtack. Hardtack was a very hard cracker that had to be soaked in water or coffee to make it soft enough to eat. Often the hardtack was full of insects. Corporal Philander Nesbitt, a Union cavalry soldier fighting in Missouri, wrote home in 1861 to tell his sister about the hard conditions. "Last night we were out 3 days without anything to eat, only such as we could pick up. We rode all day and about an hour by sun, stopped at a house and got a piece of cornbread and raw meat, which of course tasted like it had been sweetened, to hide the taste of rotted meat. We started and rode until 10 o'clock and slept in a stable, got up and fed our horses and got no breakfast, rode hard until about 10 o'clock and caught up with some infantry. They freely emptied their haversack and gave it to us, which consisted of hard crackers." Confederate soldiers usually had a rougher life than Union soldiers because the South was short on supplies. A lot of the Johnny Rebs, as Union soldiers called them, went barefoot, even in winter. There were few doctors in the armies. In those days, there was very little a doctor could do for a person if he or she became sick or was wounded. Many of the people who died in the Civil War died from illness, not from wounds. Corporal Nesbitt became sick a few weeks after writing his sister and died 4 months later. Page 198. Last Chance. The Confederate Army made one last attempt to capture Missouri in 1864. General Sterling Price, a former governor of Missouri, and his rebel army invaded from Arkansas. At the same time, small groups of Confederates began attacking towns around the state. One of these groups was led by Bloody Bill Anderson. Frank and Jesse James, who became outlaws after the war, were a part of Anderson's gang. They attacked the town of Centralia on September 27, 1864, killing 24 unarmed Union soldiers who were on a train heading home to Iowa. Union troops chased the gang out of town. They were ambushed, attacked by surprise. By Anderson's gang, and 124 more Union soldiers died. On that same day, General Price's army attacked Fort Davidson at Pilot Knob. In the Battle of Pilot Knob, wave after wave of Confederate troops rushed toward the fort. They were killed or driven back before they could reach the rock and dirt walls defended by the outnumbered Union troops. Because he lost so many men, General Price changed his plans to attack St. Louis or Jefferson City. Instead, he marched toward Westport near Kansas City. On October 23rd through 25th, the Confederate and Union armies met in battle. The Confederates were defeated. Among the dead was Bloody Bill Anderson. The Battle of Westport marked the end of major fighting in Missouri. Page 199. The North had more men, more supplies, more factories, and more money than the South. The Confederate Army often won battles, but it could not replace all of the men who died or were wounded, nor the supplies it used or lost. On April 9, 1865, Robert E. Lee, General of the Maine Confederate Army, surrendered to the Union General Ulysses S. Grant in Appomattox Courthouse, Virginia. Other Confederate generals soon followed Lee's example. The war was over. In all, more than 1,100 battles or skirmishes, small clashes, were fought in Missouri. Only in Virginia and Tennessee was there more fighting. More than 20,000 Missourians died, 14,000 of them for the North. The armies had raided much of the state. Towns and farms were looted or destroyed. It would be many years before these wounds caused by the war healed. Did you know? General Grant and his wife, Julia Dent Grant, and their family lived for a time in St. Louis. You can still visit Grant's farm in South St. Louis County. Do you remember? Number one, how did Africans come to Missouri? Number two, what event led the Southern states to secede from the Union? Page 200, Chapter Review. Summary. This chapter told how Missouri became a state and how the fight over Missouri's statehood was part of the growing fight over slavery that led to the Civil War. You read that most Missourians at the time of statehood were farmers, and their lives were filled with hard work. You also read that some Missourians were shopkeepers, selling goods to the pioneer families. You learned about the different ways to travel in Missouri's early days, and how those different ways affected the growth of the state and many of its towns. This chapter told you about slavery and the lives of those held in bondage. The lives of black people who were free were equally hard. You learned that Missourians were very passionate about the issue of slavery and willing to fight for their beliefs. You read that the state was the site of many Civil War battles. Most were small fights between groups called bushwhackers and Union troops. You read that, because the state was so split by the war and its causes, it would be years before it recovered. Remember, on a separate sheet of paper, write the word or words that best complete each sentence below. Number one, an example of a border state was A. Illinois, B. Missouri, C. Texas. Number 2. The Underground Railroad, A, was the first railroad with a tunnel through a mountain. B, was the first railroad in Missouri. C, helped slaves escape to the North. Number 3. An abolitionist wanted to do away with A, slavery, B, alcohol, C, women's rights. Number 4. The Confederate States of America was founded after A, Missouri seceded from the Union, B, the election of Abraham Lincoln, C, the fall of Fort Sumter. Number 5. The Pony Express was replaced by the A, Overland Mail, B, Stagecoach, C, Telegraph. Number 6. The Missouri Compromise, A, made Missouri a free state, B, allowed Missouri into the Union, C, allowed the states to make their own laws. Page 201. Understand. Answer the following questions in complete sentences. Number 1. Why was it all right for the United States government to write laws and regulations for the people when Missouri was a territory? Number 2. What is the difference between a slave state and a free state? Number 3. In what year did Missouri become a state? Number 4. What was one of the first decisions Missouri's new legislature had to make? Number 5. In the early days of statehood, goods from eastern states arrived in Missouri in two ways. What were they? Number 6. Why were railroads important in early Missouri? Number 7. How was slavery important to Missouri's agricultural economy? Number 8. What were the 11 states that seceded from the Union called? Number 9. How did the Civil War divide Missouri? Think about it. Number 1. Do you think the Missouri Compromise was a good deal? Why or why not? Number 2. Why was the Dred Scott decision important in American history? Write about it. Number 1. In a short paragraph, explain how a typical farm family lived in the early history of Missouri. Number 2. Write a sentence or two explaining the importance of river travel in Missouri. Use the Internet. Learn more about one of the most famous African Americans, Harriet Tubman, by visiting www.nyhistory.com/HarrietTubman/life.htm. Work together. Number 1. With a partner, map the routes of the Santa Fe and Oregon trails. In a short paragraph, explain why these trails were important. Number 2. With a partner, create a timeline of major battles and events that took place in Missouri during the Civil War.